Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you, Mr. Henderson. Well, if you ever talk to an explorer, he will tell you that one of the most important things you need on any exploration or journey is adequate shelter. A long hike in our country over several days will require a good quality tent, something that will keep the storms at bay, keep the rain off of us, keep the hail off of us in this country, and occasionally in this country shelter us from sun, but we don't have to worry too much about that. That's quite a low-level journey through our nice countryside. If you move up a level or two, an expedition walking to the North Pole is probably about as extreme and as hard as you can get on this planet. You don't take the same B&Q tent that you bought for hiking across this country to walk to the North Pole. You have the best protection and shelter you can afford. You have the best protection irrespective of cost. Because if you take poor quality shelter on a trip to the North Pole, if it does by some miracle survive the first night in the winds and the storms, then you'll probably be dead from hypothermia and frostbite anyhow, because it is not thermally insulated. If you do not take the best shelter with you, you may as well commit suicide, because you will not survive that journey. We're on a journey at the moment, one that makes walking to the North Pole probably look like a walk in the park. Satan is very angry at the moment. He knows his time is short. He has got his entire resources attacking his people. He wants to destroy them, if it were at all possible. Our brethren around the world, no matter where they are, all seem to be going through trials and tribulations at the moment. Some of them physical, some of them spiritual. The phrase, hang in there, seems to be quite common among our vocabulary at the moment when we're talking to each other. We need to have a shelter available to us, something which gives us a refuge when our trials wear us down. The dictionary definition of refuge is a shelter or protection as from danger or distress, one who or that which shelters or protects, a safe place or asylum. As I mentioned in the introduction, there are two types of shelter that are available. Good quality shelter, which will keep you alive in the storms, or poor quality shelter that will collapse in the first storm and will not provide the shelter it needs to. Please turn with me to Isaiah 28, starting in verse 14. We can see the wrong form of shelter. Isaiah 28 and in verse 14. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men who rule this people who are in Jerusalem. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with Sheol we are in agreement. When the overflowing scourge passes through, it will not come to us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood we have hidden ourselves. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. As I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plummet. The hail will sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters will overflow the hiding place. Your covenant with death will be annulled, and your agreement with Sheol will not stand when the overflowing scourge passes through. Then you will be trampled down by it. This is man's refuge, which he builds up on lies and falsehood. It will not protect them in the storms that will come upon them. It is a man-made refuge. We need something much stronger, something that is able to protect us from these storms, an immovable refuge. Turn with me, please, to Psalm 9. Psalm 9, starting in verse 1. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvellous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. When my enemies turn back, they shall fall and perish at your presence. For you have maintained my right and my cause. You sat on the throne judging in righteousness. You have rebuked the nations. You have destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever. O enemy, destructions are finished forever. And you have destroyed cities, even their memory has perished. But the Lord shall endure forever. He has prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness, and he shall administer judgment for the peoples in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Verse 9 and verse 10 should be of great comfort to us at the moment, going through these trials that seem to be so common at the moment. The Lord has not forsaken those who seek him, and he will provide that refuge in times of trouble. It's also interesting to note the context at the beginning of the chapter, because King David was praising God with his whole heart and was glad and rejoicing in him. Something that when we're going through trials and troubles is not very easy to do humanly. But the reason why King David was able to do this, if you turn with me to Psalm 46, is laid out for us to read. Psalm 46, and in verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow, he cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. In verse 2, it says, therefore we will not fear, because he is a refuge, a shelter from distress. Humanly, when trials come about us, we do find it hard to praise God and to be glad and to rejoice. But with this absence of fear, then it is possible to do it. Let us take note of what King David said to us here. It's also interesting to note in verse 5, they always say the darkest part of the night is just before the dawn. It says here that God will help her people just at the break of dawn. We are in the darkest part of the night right now, the very end time of this age. Take encouragement from the fact that the dawn is not very far off now. Just to underline this promise of not being fearful, please turn to Psalm 91. Psalm 91, and starting in verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrows that fly by day, nor of the pestilence that walk in darkness, nor of this destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. You shall not be afraid. That is some promise. The first example we looked at this afternoon was the wrong kind of protection and shelter, the wrong sort of refuge that is based upon lies and falsehood, and it was utterly swept away. God tells us here, his truth will be your shield and buckler. God's refuge and shelter is based on truth, God's truth. The people of God's church at the moment are scattered and have been shattered. They are going through trials, being continually buffeted to and fro. We get an update from Mr. Bowles every week, where we're asked to pray for those in different trials. Just looking back at the trials that have been mentioned over the last sort of 12 months, we've got famine, health, injury. Down in Nigeria, there is witchcraft. There's financial problems, there's work-related problems, family-related problems. There's fire, floods, storms. The list goes on and on. But we must take encouragement from the promises of the one who created all things, that he will be our refuge in our trials. He will be the shelter from distress, and he has the power to keep those promises. When Satan is throwing all his resources at attacking God's church, and God says to him, stop, he must stop. There is nothing else he can do. He is powerless in comparison to the Almighty Creator, the Lord of hosts, and the God of Jacob, who is our refuge. In the introduction, we learnt that explorers need their shelter to keep them alive. We are on a most important journey. Let us draw close to God, so that the only refuge which is able to keep us spiritually alive will be available when it is needed. As King David said in the Psalms, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah.